beautiful, beautiful song. I love that last verse when he calls us home with that proclamation. Oh, what joy will fill our hearts. We're talking about worshiping tonight. Tonight we're talking about, we talked about singing as part of our worship. We talked about testifying as part of our worship. Tonight we're talking about serving as part of our worship. And I got on the screen there, as you can see, pretty much here's what serving is in the context that we're talking about tonight. Working for God. Just working for God in any capacity is serving. From Brandon doing slideshows up here for the songs, to, you know, Nikki helping the kids in the back to teach them or watch them, to the cleaning people cleaning the church, to the ushers taking up the money, to all the people who do anything for the kingdom of God, you're serving. You're doing something for God. That's part of how we worship. So we'll get into some scriptures tonight, and it's amazing how serving can be in any capacity. It doesn't have to be in the big things we think is, you know, the pastor on the platform or out on street ministry, witnessing to people, going door knocking. It can be simpler things. I want to read this letter I received in the mail today. It really touched me. Me and Mel over here a couple weeks ago during the day, we were doing some painting in the church, and a little lady pulled up, and Mel said, James, a car pulled up out here. So I went out, and there's an older black lady pulled up, never seen her before. Said, are you the pastor? I said, yeah. So you think you can help me with something? Said, I've got a friend who lives over here just down the road off Reeves Road. I'm trying to get some groceries to her, but I can't lift this stuff. I can't load it. Anyway, you can follow me over there and help me and unload them and take them into her house for her. I said, yeah. I said, yeah. And she says, I promise it's a safe neighborhood. She's not from here. And I said, that's fine. It wouldn't matter if it wasn't. I'm fine. You know, yeah. But I know where Reeves Road's at, so I'll follow you. So we go over there, park. I take all these groceries, go knock on this little lady's house. She didn't come to the door at first. Went and told her she didn't come to the door. So I said, I'm going to go try again because she said she was older. So I went and banged the door really, really loud. I heard a little bit of movement, so I waited. She came to the door, told her what was going on. Oh, I know her. Yeah, that's so sweet. I said, you want me to bring all this in, put in your kitchen for you? Yeah, yeah. So I carry in her house, put in the kitchen, and come back, told the lady, it's all in her house. She's got it. She said, thank you so much. So I get this letter in the mail today from her. And this lady lives in Goldsboro, North Carolina. So she's way off. And she says, and when I got this letter down, I thought, this is perfect, me talking about a message about how we serve. She put, Reverend Lewis, recently you did a great service for me. I have muscle problems and other health conditions and find it difficult to lift and carry. We live in such an untrusting and hostile world, but your faith and integrity gave you the courage to approach my situation in a positive way. You stopped your painting and took the time to go to my friend's house to deliver her packages. You visually showed to me that good people still exist. Our world is filled with so much hatred, racism, and fear. I am so grateful and appreciate that people of your character still take a moment to exemplify. It takes a village, and I am my brother's keeper. God bless you. Betty Click, Goldsboro, North Carolina. And guess what was in the envelope with the letter? A $50 check to the church. Is that not amazing? Now, on a funnier note, tell me serving God don't pay. I'm going to write her back, of course, and let her know I appreciate the letter and appreciate the offering of the church, but that wasn't at all why I did that. She came to the door. She had a need. I helped her, and I was glad I could help her. It made me feel good I could help her because she was buying all these groceries for she was sowing a seed, too. She had about 7 or 8 bags of groceries, all kinds of stuff packed in it, to deliver to her friend who couldn't get out of the house. And I thought that was so sweet. And so this letter just blessed me. I thought, what perfect timing. This is how we can serve. You may think what you're doing, because I didn't expect anything, you know. I mean, the letter is dated September 23rd, so that just, what's today? The date? 26th. But this happened like 2 to 3 weeks ago. So I done forgot about it, you know. And I get this letter, and I'm like, oh, what's that lady? I seen the Goldsboro address. Oh, what's that lady? And how sweet she took time. We can serve in so many ways, church. We can serve in so many capacities. And everything we do it for the Lord. You may have seen someone's Facebook post. I'm not going to say their name, but even though it is public, and I have a right to do it because it's public, but I won't say the name. But one of our own here at Living Word put a post on Facebook yesterday saying, you know, she's tired of always being nice and kind. It's like it doesn't matter to anybody anymore. Something like that, paraphrasing. Well, I made a comment, and I says, You keep sowing seed and you keep being kind. God sees it all. See, everything we do when we serve in humanity, we do it for the Lord. And if we can learn that everything we do for people is as we're doing it for the Lord, it would change how we feel about people. Let me ask you this. You always say, oh, they just get on my nerves. Well, let me ask you this. Does God get on your nerves? Would you say that to God? God's getting on my nerves. When we are doing things for others, we're doing them as we would to the Lord, because the best way we serve is to other people. That's how people see Christ in us. It's how we serve others, through how we talk to them, how we love them, how we listen to them. And we know there are those people that are a little annoying more than others. There's people that get on your nerves more than others. But as you learn that everybody you are serving, picture the face of God. It's kind of like how when you're a little kid, right? Your parents could put that guilt trip on you when you were little, right? And they would say, now, honey, when you're out with your friends playing and doing stuff, picture your mother's face. Hoping that would stop us, right? Every time you're thinking a bad thought, picture your mother's face. Well, every time you're serving, picture the face of God. This is why I'm doing it. This simple act of what happened here at the church 2 weeks ago produced this. To the impact, she wrote a letter saying how amazed she was. Just something so simple. Wasn't nothing to me. It wasn't anything to me. Just, you had a need, let's go. I wouldn't care where she said it was. It wouldn't have mattered to me. As long as I didn't have I didn't think I was going to be kidnapped. I'd have went. Serving's important. Let's get into some scriptures tonight. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 34. We even have on the back of our membership cards, in the lobby when you go out, or toward the bottom of the membership cards, when you sign it, part of your signature, because won't you count as being important, not just, part of it at the bottom, it says that by signing this, you understand your responsibility in supporting the church financially and serving when needed. So the serving part's important, that when you plug in, you say, you know what, I want to be a part of Living Word, then be ready to do something for Living Word, something for the Lord, to say, you know what, I want to be a tool that's used for the kingdom of God. There's no greater glory than that. That's why the Bible says in Acts that is more blessed to give than to receive. There's something about giving that's absolutely amazing. Verse 34, this is Jesus speaking. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked and clothed me, I was sick. You visited me, I was in prison. You came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw you hungry? When did we feed you? When were you thirsty? When did we give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and took you in? When were you naked and that we clothed you? Or whom we saw you were sick or in prison? Who came to you? Disciples saying, Lord, that what? You didn't need any of those things. What are you talking about? Verse 40 says it all. The king shall answer and said to him, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Get the revelation there? As we do things to other people, we are doing it unto God. We're serving humanity for a reason. I'm not saying that we go out and we just give away our life savings and we go out and we just exhaust all of our resources and our time. There's time for everything. But when there's a need in front of you, and when God speaks to you, it's important that we obey that, we step into that, and we hit that ball as far as we can hit it, because we're doing it for God. Everything, we're doing it for God. We're loving people because God loved us. We're forgiving people because God forgave us. We're trying to bring healing to people because God healed us. We're showing them mercy because God showed mercy to us. It's amazing how, as Christians, sometimes we forget the foundation of why we're Christians. We're not Christians because we shout and say hallelujah. We are Christians because Jesus has bought us with the precious blood of Christ. Jesus has forgiven us of our sins and cast them as far away as the east is from the west. But yet we don't serve in that same capacity. We serve with an agenda or a grudge, or we half serve, or we serve with a motive. Jesus served with no motive other than redeeming mankind. I go to the cross for one purpose, to redeem mankind, to pay a price for you that you can never pay and want nothing in return other than that you will believe in me. Serving God. When someone's hungry and we feed them, we're serving God. When someone needs encouragement and we give them that, we're serving God. When someone is weak and we give them strength, we're serving God. When someone has a question and we give them an answer, we're serving God. Everything that we do can be an act of servanthood if we will put it in the right context and realize. Even smiling at your waitress at a restaurant. And I know waitress is no longer the politically correct word. It is whatever you call it now. Your server. Yes, your server. Just like we can't say flight attendant no more. That's called something else too. What's that called? That's called something, isn't it? Oh, stewardess, flight attendant. That's what it is. Yeah, not stewardess, flight attendant. Go to a restaurant. Show a smile to the one waiting on your table. There's times I'll leave a little message on a receipt with my tip. And I say this all the time. Don't give them some little encouraging message. Don't leave no money for them. God bless you. I'll be praying for you. Zip. Tip zero. Yeah. I'll be praying for you, buddy. Praying the gates of hell open up and swallow your hind end up. That's what they're going to be saying. So if you're going to leave a tip, I mean, if you're going to leave a message, leave a good tip with it. But there's times I leave a message on a receipt. If God prompts me to do that, just a little something on the back. Sometimes I'll leave our church name or number. Sometimes I'll just say, great service, great smile. Thank you for working hard. You know, just something to encourage them. You have no idea. Would y'all want to wait on yourself? They got to wait on you, okay? And we can be demanding, okay? And I'm one that I have no problem asking for something because I'm paying for it and I'm there. At Logan's, for instance, I like my rolls done. I don't like them doughy. Ashley likes them doughy. I like them done. So if they come out doughy, I'll say, hey, you know, I'm really nice. So, hey, I really, could you bring me some more done rolls? I kind of like them when they're done. And I'm sure she's cussing like a sailor in her breath going back. But you know what? By George, the rolls brought me there. That's why I'm there. Them rolls got me in the door. And I want them rolls right, and I want them brown, and I want them done. So I understand how hard it is, but it's all about attitude. It's all about little things that we don't understand, that everything we do it for the Lord. Next scripture, Brandon. This is, John 13. John 13, 1. This is also Jesus speaking. Well, it's not him speaking yet, but he does speak. John 13, 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of his world. And I love this passage. This is one of my, as a pastor, one of my favorite passages that keeps me grounded as a pastor. His hour was come that he should depart out of the world to the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's brother, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. He, talking about Jesus, riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Wow. Simon Peter said to him, he changes tune quick, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Wash me all over. Hallelujah. That's what he was saying. I mean, think about that. Jesus comes to Gail and says, if I can't wash your feet, you're not going to be part of my life. Wash it all, God. You know, wash me all over. I love how Peter changed his tune. That heart kickles me every time. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. I love that verse. And as a pastor, I quote that verse to people all the time. It's important that we realize as Christians, we are to serve others. We are to wash others. You know, in some of the old-timey Pentecostal churches, I don't know, maybe other churches did it too, but I know the old-timey Pentecostal churches, they would have feet-washing ceremonies where people would take their socks and shoes off and someone would come and they would wash their feet as a sign of humility, as a sign of servanthood, as a sign of I'm not better than you, as a sign of I'm humbling myself to put you above me. It was a symbolic service. Here, Jesus, the King of Kings. Think about this. We got so many folks. I heard somebody at a McDonald's the other morning. I was standing there, or somewhere. Maybe it was somewhere I was standing. And this girl come out. I think it was McDonald's. This girl come out, and the manager says, hey, when you come back here, I need to have you do something. You know what her response was? Her response said, well, close. She said, well, if it's the trash, I ain't doing that. And the manager said, well, it's not the trash. You know what I'd have been saying? My old Walmart would have come out. You go do what I tell you to do, and you're going to like it. And if you don't like it, I'm going to dock you pay for not liking it. I mean, that's how I would be. But I'm like, if it's a trash, I ain't taking it out. I'm like, really? Boy, Jesus took this trash out, didn't he? He died for all of us and paid the price. This is all the trash of Gordon's life and Danny's life and Jamie's life, all the trash of Nikki's life, the heaps and heaps of trash in Nikki's life, all the trash in Gail's life, all the trash. I'm taking on the trash to make you clean. That really caught me off guard when she said that. I'm like, you're working for a company. You're getting paid to do what they tell you. If Walmart would have told me to go stand in the parking lot in the rain, hold one leg up, and look funny, I'd have done it. Getting paid to do whatever. I'm on their time. It wouldn't matter to me, man. I'm getting a paycheck. You tell me what to do, I'm going to do it. I'm not too good to do nothing. As a pastor, I carry that over. You know, it doesn't matter. There's stuff here I do. I was taking trash out here the other day because we were doing some paint, and the ladies told me not to come to clean that day because we had the church all messed up. So I'm getting trash up and cleaning the sinks, and it don't bother me. That doesn't bother me to do those things. Servanthood teaches us something. It teaches us humility, that it's not all about us. We've got so many people that are too arrogant to humble themselves to others because they think they're better than them because of their position of life, the money they make, the house they live in, the company they work for, the clothes they wear, whatever the issue is, they think they're better. As servants, there is no measurement of a lifestyle or a skin color or political backing. None of that matters when it comes to serving. I will serve anyone that God calls me to serve, no matter who or what they look like. I had someone call me yesterday. I didn't know who they was. They said, I got your number. We're homeless. Need some help with some food. I said, how'd you get my card? And my card was in two places. Okay? Which is good. Right? That's what I'm here for. Well, I got your number at Dr. Kearney's office. And then I got at the Hallmark Inn. Now, I promise y'all, I wasn't at the Hallmark Inn. Don't get no wrong ideas. But somehow my car ended up in the Hallmark Inn. Now, if you know anything about states where the Hallmark Inn is the place of witnessing, that is the place for sure that people need help, but they're staying there. And so I talked to her a little bit and told her how to call her back. I was in the middle of doing something. She called. Let me call you back. I did and talked to her a little bit. And here's a person I don't even know that's reaching out for help. And I called her back and told her that we had, you know, I found out some sources for her to be able to help her. And don't know who she is. But you know what? She called me. There's an opportunity right there to serve. In whatever capacity I could serve in. There's something about when you can help someone else that just, it strengthens your walk. Because as you know, we all sometimes, even including me, we get on our pity wagon sometimes, don't we? We're like, man, my life's so hard. It's so terrible. Nobody loves me. No one cares. I'll be honest with you. It's the Wednesday night crowd, so I won't scare any of y'all off. But I told Melanie about 2 weeks ago. I was going through a little kind of, you know, a little bump down the road a little bit. I was just overwhelmed. I was emotionally drained. I told Melanie, I said, you know, if I wasn't here, would anybody care? I wonder, would anybody even care if I wasn't here anymore? And so we go through those times. We go through those moments. And we know what that is. It's the lie of the enemy. It's the voice of the devil trying to distract and derail. I know that. So we all face those times. And it's encouraging when some of you sometimes will send me a text out of the blue. And these texts are rare, but it does happen. Just want to let you know I'm thinking about you and praying for you today. And love you. Thanks. Oh, your text, great service today. Really felt God. It was a wonderful service. Thanks for obeying the Holy Spirit. Those are great. And that's important. It's not, and people say, well, I can't, you know, you might have been raised this way. You know, my grandma, I can talk about her, she's not here tonight. But my grandma was one that if my grandpa started bragging on me, she'd say, okay now, Roy, you go give him the big head. Don't give him no big head. Look, sometimes my head gets any smaller, I ain't gonna exist. There's times we need to be encouraged. There's times we need to be built up. I'm not talking about being arrogant, but there's times we need to let people know you're making a difference, and thank you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for what you do, and thank you for being who you are, and thank you for sharing and caring and listening and talking and loving. Thank you for those things. We need to hear those sometimes. And I used to love hearing my grandpa brag on me because he was so proud of me. I didn't get no big head because of that. It was my grandpa. It wasn't like some Barbie dolls over saying, boy, you a hunk. You the man, man. Oh, boy, I want you, man. You are hot, buddy. It wasn't like his ass. My grandpa let me know he's proud of me. That was okay. It's okay to encourage people. The Bible says that we should build each other up, right? Not tear each other down. There's enough of that going on. And part of what serving does, it gets us out of our pity party sometimes and makes us realize, like Brother Dale, man, he sleeps 18 hours a day now. Can't hardly breathe. He's just 60 years old. And he got a death sentence from a doctor saying he will not be here at Christmas. It's almost October now. And I'm sitting there thinking, my God, I'm whining because Gordon didn't call me back. I'm whining because Gail went to church last Wednesday. You know, I'm whining because my wife's fussing at me. Welcome to marriage. If she wasn't fussing, I'd be worried. That's the way I look at it, to be honest. If she ain't fussing, she must have somebody else because I'm just saying, she ain't fussing with me. All I've given you as an example that you should do as I have done. And as a pastor, that's always kept me grounded as a shepherd to realize it's not ever been. It's about me wanting to serve others. We all. That's what Randy does back here. All these years, Randy has served others with those children. All the things he does, all the events he puts on, all the time spent. I mean, he works a full-time job, long job. But he does a robotics thing. He does that voluntarily. A whole other ministry he does outside this. He does all that to serve. And I guess he still finds time to spend with Don. I don't know how, but I guess y'all have some time together. And he still finds time to do that and raise 2 kids. It's amazing. Next scripture. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. That's all ties into serving. There is nobody that's ever not called me wanting to ride a church. I will not go get them. This is my Dr. Kearney telling Melanie, I really like to come. I live in Troutman, but I have no transportation. And my wife, without even talking to me, because she knows me, says, my husband will come pick you up if you want. Here's his card. Give him a call. He'll come get you for church. have no problem with that. I've picked many people up through the years, took them home through the years. It does not bother me whatsoever. If we could learn to prefer one above another, then we are exemplifying the love of Christ that he has for us. Excuse me for that, sorry.
Brandon, you didn't remind me, put my phone guy, man.
Next verse. Verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What it says in southern terms, don't be lazy. Get your hind end on fire and start serving. Be fervent. Be excited. Be happy. You know, I've been thinking a lot because I know it's Wednesday nights and I know it's midweek and I know every church suffers the Wednesday night lull versus Sunday. I don't expect 100 people here on Wednesday night. But I do think, what could we do to encourage more to be here on the midweek service? We cancel Sunday night to give people the day off and give them time with families that evening and all that. And what could we do? And I talked to Melanie about it. And here's what it comes down to, and it's right. And hopefully all of you are here because you want to be here tonight. And that's what it comes down to. Melanie's like, James, they will either want to be here or they don't. And I'm like, but why wouldn't they want to be here? Marjorie's singing. I'm preaching. You know? Gordon's amening me on Wednesday nights. Who wouldn't want to be here? Sarah's in her sweatsuit tonight. Who wouldn't want to be here? I'm like, man, but it's because we got to get fervent in our spirit again to connect to the things that are important, to connect to those things that change our lives. Because spiritual things do change our lives. The Bible says that hearing the words will increase our faith. How can our faith be increased? By hearing. How we hear through the word. The hearing the word builds our faith. You know what makes some coaches so great? What makes Nick Saban so great for the University of Alabama? Why he's the most winning program in the last decade? Is because of the words that he speaks over and over and over, and the players buy into what he is saying. He is selling the product effectively. They're buying in. They're hearing it over and over and over. They're hearing the same things. He's not changed his style in a decade. He coaches the same. All these classes come and graduate. The next class comes in. He's doing the same. He's the same points he's drilling home. That's what builds our faith. When we hear over and over and over that we are forgiven and the devil is a liar, that's got to motivate something inside of you. We hear there's a future the devil can't ever tap into because that future was sealed 2,000 years ago in the past. Something's got to get motivated. When we keep hearing over and over, I am more than a conqueror through Christ. No battle, no gate of hell, no fire, no storm, no giant can defy me or stand in my way. I will press through. I will press on. I have the victory now and forevermore. How can that not motivate us? Man. And when we get that message in us and we hear it over and over, week after week, month after month, year after year, it's like a tree has to have roots. And the more rooted we are, the more we spread out and the more we grow strong and grow tall. That when the big bad wolf comes to huff and to puff and to blow our house down, it can't blow it down because our house was not built on the sand, but it was built on what Peter says. This church is built on the rock, the solid foundation of God, which cannot be moved. Hallelujah. That's good news. And it is discouraging for me as a pastor to realize, man, so many folks are missing out on opportunities of hearing what God has to say. They're missing out because God moves different every service. At least he does here. Because I'm the least programmed preacher you will find. The least programmed. I have never preached from notes. I have never written my sermons out. I have never done that. Not that I couldn't, and there's nothing wrong with it. That's just never been who I've been. Now, if I get older, my mind starts slipping, I have to start writing out my sermons. But right now, I'm good. And that's why sometimes I get off base a little bit because I don't have that line. You know, the one thing I'll flip through and I'll see Joel Osteen. And he's up there teaching. And, you know, he'll flip a page every now and then. But he's got all these thousands of people. And he's up there and he's got this. And I'm like, man, I don't think I could ever do that. I just don't think I could ever keep it that that formed and that oiled and that well maintained. I wasn't keeping the road that straight. I'm more of an off-road preacher, okay? I'll go off here, but I'll bring her back in. But you just got to bear some of the off-road bumps every now and then. But that's always been who God called me to be, and I've just tried to stay. I've tried to stay obedient to that. Fervent spirit, serving the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Paul tells us there. Last scripture for tonight, Colossians 3:23. This verse I quote all the time too, and I tell people I counsel this a lot. This verse: whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. And I'm just going to send that person here at the church this verse that came to me after I sent my message to her. That verse popped in my spirit. That everything we do, do it as you're doing it unto God, not unto man. Because I want to tell you something, even for our husbands and wives and our children, we're sometimes just halfway, aren't we? We do it kind of halfway sometimes. We're just tired. Oh, it's just my wife. She loves me. She ain't going nowhere. I got her broke in. You know, we take stuff for granted. But man, what if God, what if everything we did, like that one video I played, my mom liked that video, in your every moment, Jesus in your every moment. If we realize that Jesus is in our every moment, try to find that on there for me, Brandon. It's under, I don't know if it's under videos, video file or videos. I think it's titled Jesus in Every Moment or In Every Moment. You might not be able to find it, but see if you can. If we could picture and visualize that everything we do, boom, there's Jesus. Wouldn't we do it a little bit better, probably? I mean, I sure would. I would do a little bit differently. I wouldn't just half do it. Oh, you do? Okay, good. We'll play it in just a minute. Don't play it yet. Hang on. Add to the verse, I think, in there. Just say that. Knowing that from the Lord, as we do everything to the Lord, knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of your inheritance. Why? Because you serve the Lord Christ. Every seed we plant when we're serving. You know, just so you do know this, Marjorie does not get paid to play the keyboard here. A lot of churches do that. She does not get paid to do that. We try to honor her sometimes, but she does not get any kind of salary to play the keyboard here at the church. She does that voluntarily. She does it from her heart. And she's here twice a week and only misses when she does these camping trips that I pray against, and it never works out, so that's kind of working. But anyway, the last two had to be canceled because of hurricane and weather and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, she is here faithful twice a week serving the Lord. And you know what? God sees that. And the greater, God's reward will be far greater than any little bit of amount we could pay her here. She's thinking, well, that would be great. But it's more than any amount she could ever get paid here, what God's going to do in her life. He looks at her and says, all the years you served, the times you took, all these PowerPoints that we have that we sing to, all of them, she makes all those PowerPoints. She does all that work. And she's the type of person I can text on Saturday at 5 o'clock in the evening, hey, I got this new song. Think you can do it tomorrow? Let me listen to it. She'll listen to it, have a PowerPoint, boom, Sunday morning she's singing it. That's serving the Lord. And God sees that. God sees all the things you do. Gail, he sees the faithfulness of you when you're passing the offering plate week after week, never failing, you're always here, passing the offering plate, being a part of that worship service, staying at the back door, you and Tony, watching the parking lot, watching for people who come in the door, protecting the flock to the best of your ability. He sees those things. When Shirley's out in the rain, she had been in the rain some doing this, changing our sign at the road. We was over here one day. I was over here when she came over here one day, and it started raining while she was changing the sign. She finished it up and went on. But putting them letters at the road and changing a sign and getting a message for the people that go by our church to have something to hold on to when they go to work and when they come home, to see that message every day, to read that message. And people are reading that. People comment. I read your church signs when I go by. All of these things that y'all do make a difference. Roger, right here, came over this afternoon and worked on one of our commodes in the women's bathroom and replaced a part in there. pouring down rain. He comes over here, spends an hour, hour and a half over here working on one of the commodes. Goes home, comes back to church. Washed his hands, I'm sure. Came back to church. All these things are serving. And you know what? Roger did that with a joyful heart. He it's something he wanted to do. He come in just smiling, carrying his commode parts. Hey, Pastor. You know, happy to do it. It's a beautiful thing. Gordon playing bass up here, Sunday and Wednesdays, voluntarily, stepping up, helping serve. All of us. If we realize that Jesus is, you got volume on that video too? Ready? When we see that Jesus really is in every one of our moments, it'll change how we serve. Flip them lights off, Mom, back there, at least a couple of them, so we see this video a little bit better.
Heavenly Father, we love your precious name. It stands to reason.
They can't see Jesus in the video. They can't see him.
It's just a word. It can be easily forgotten as soon as it is heard. But one name was spoken before the world's first day, and it will be here when everything that is has passed away. Delivered from the lips of God to Mary's ears on angels' wings, Jesus, Jesus, the word that came to life for us, the song that chases fear away. Delivered from the lips of God to Mary's ears on angels' wings, Jesus, sweet Jesus, the word that came to life for us, the song that all creation sings, Jesus.
The name.
That is our God in every one of our situations. We can't escape Him wherever we go. He's there. And so when we're serving people, He's there. He is seeing what we're doing in other people's lives. He's seeing every small seed that we sow, and He's smiling and rejoicing, saying, "That's my boy. That's my daughter. They're serving me, and they're doing something with their life." He's in every one of your moments. Remember that. Close out in prayer. Lord, let us leave this place with a new attitude to serve.